April 27th, 2016 edition of the Little Guys Home Technology Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Evie.
And we'd like to welcome you to what's going to be a discussion about home theater in general. More specifically, what makes up the stuff and the components in a home theater, what makes a home theater a theater. But today's home theaters take many different forms. There are still dedicated rooms that are just for home theaters, and we're going to talk a lot about that in a minute, but there are a myriad of media centers that fit into living rooms, great rooms, basements, garages, bedrooms, and more. I mean, that people find places to create that kind of media center.
Any room, even the backyard.
Yep, even the backyard. That's awesome. It's fun. It's supposed to be fun. It's fun for the entire family. Everybody gets to share. It's just a great experience. Theater in your home, as opposed to going to the movie and paying that $8 million and having overpriced popcorn, overpriced pop, and food in general or whatever, and your feet sticking to the floor. You can have that experience at home and really make it special. And guess what? You get to do it whenever you want. You have whatever start time you want. You can do it when you want to experience it. So, real quick before we get into the basics of what makes up a home theater, the Little Guys store is 191st and LaGrange Road in Mokena, Illinois. We're right off of I-80, so easy to get to. You can check us out at thelittleguys.com. You can email us at info@thelittleguys.com. And the store, by the way, is open.
Store is open Monday through Thursday from 10 until 6, Friday and Saturday from 10 until 5, and we are closed on Sundays.
There you go. All right, so let's start with the basics of what makes up a home theater. Obviously, there has to be a picture, right? There has to be some kind of video display. Of course, the ultimate version is a front projector and a separate screen, and that just gives you the most feel like you're at the movies. Whether you're watching a TV show or a movie show or a concert, it just gives you the feeling like you're...
Right, that great big picture makes you feel that you're at the movies.
Yeah, and the size will vary based on the room and you know, the lighting and your desires, basically. But they typically range from as small as, let's say, 80 to around 130 inches. Not that we've done some 150s and 160s, even a 200, but majority of the ones done in homes based on the ceiling heights and things like that, somewhere between, I'd say, 80 to 130, and the most popular ones are 100, 110, 120. Those are really the most popular sizes. And you can do that in today's situations because of the advancement in projectors and brightness, and you can do it because of the quality of the screen materials and other things, so... With the advent of 4K HDTVs and the larger sizes, like 79-inch and 85-inch, there are some people who feel that's big enough and live with that size image instead of the bigger full screen size. It's not right or wrong. It's just different. You do get a different feeling when there's a screen and a projector than you do when you're watching a flat panel TV. It just feels different, at least for me.
And generally, I mean, the largest of the TVs, other than the 110-inch, those TVs that are really, really expensive, generally the theater is going to be at least 100 inches, 110 yeah. inches. So if you're topping out at 85 inches on a screen, on a flat screen, then you're going to get that much more with a theater.
Yeah. And there are all kinds of projectors. I mean, they start... Really, realistically, they really start at just a little under $2,000 for a good basic unit, going up to over $50,000 for a 4K laser unit from Sony.
Right. I mean, if you're going to the big box stores and you're buying, there's a very reputable company that we sell their projectors, but these big box stores have the $599 version, which might be good for a video, a presentation at your business or something. And yeah, technically they'll show a picture. Yeah. You know, you can hook it up and use it as a, but you're going to be disappointed.
Right. If the kids want to watch cartoons on the wall or something like that, then for $5.99 or $7.99 or whatever it is, it's okay. But there's such a huge dramatic difference when you take that step up, and it's not in the numbers. It's hard to qualify projectors based on numbers. It's really, although, you know, brightness comes into play, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but really it's about video processing. It's about the ability to do color correctly. The display device itself is critical to image quality. Combining factors together, like resolution, sharpness, color, reproduction, uniformity, contrast ratio, pixelization, and dynamics. So the ability to deal with moving images. Those are critical parts of why display devices change from unit to unit. The laser concept, which is new and is just starting to come out, means no replacing lamps. Really, that's the upside to a laser, is that you don't have to replace lamps. I guess technically lasers could get brighter. They're not brighter right now, but they could get brighter. It's just a different concept and a different technology, and it works, right? We've looked at the laser projectors. They're really good. I think to do laser projectors right costs a lot of money, right? So to have a 4K, so the combination of high resolution and the laser in the Sony is amazing, and it should be, because it's, you know, over $50,000. It should look gorgeous. It should be amazing, and it is. So, they're out there, but predominantly the projectors we're talking about use lamps. Now, the good news is recently the lamps have and technology has been upgraded so that the lamps last longer than they used to last, and they're less expensive to replace than they used to be too. So.
Right. So it's sort of a double-edged thing having to buy a new lamp. It's bad because you have to put out a couple hundred dollars, you know, on this thing that you already own.
Right.
And the good thing, the thing that I love about replacing the lamp is like having a brand new projector.
It's full brightness. You know, everything's
full brightness, great color, you know, everything looks fabulous. And it's something that you don't notice over time as the lamp, you know, begins to wear out or dim or whatever. But you
it
put
takes
that,
quite a while. Yeah. It's like at least 2,000 hours typically.
You know, we've talked to people who've had 4 or 5 years before they've replaced a lamp. I tend to leave the projector on and all night when I fall asleep, and so our lamps don't last quite as long.
There you go.
But I'd have an agenda. I would like to get the new lamp.
So the real breakdown goes something like this. $2,000 to $3,500 for a good 1080p projector from Sony or Epson. Good pictures, reliable, well-built projectors. There are a lot of names that are not everyday names that are in the projector business. They were presentation projectors, and they have bright, a lot of ANSIs, so they're bright. But the reality is, performance-wise and video-wise, they're not great. There are several $5,000 to $7,000 units, but for me, I'm not sure they make a lot of sense. If you're going to invest that much in a projector, then bite the bullet and go up to the Sony that's $99.99 or $10,000 and up
that's a,
from
and
there.
That's a 4K.
And that's a true 4K projector. There are a lot of 4K-ish.
Ish, right. That's what I call it, 4K-ish.
Right? They take 4K information and they can process it, but they send it through 1080p panels. So it's not really 4K. You're not seeing 4K. You're seeing the 4K information, but it's down-resed. It doesn't make sense.
See, if you're maybe it's do 3K.
It, that doesn't mean you can't have a great 1080p picture. You can.
Right,
there's
absolutely.
Great 1080p images and pictures. Just focus on if you're gonna make the leap, then make the leap. If not, then I really think the Epson and Sony's that $3,500, $4,000, they're great. I mean, they work great. Now you might have some circumstances that require unbelievable or extreme brightness, and if that's the case, then, you know, then there is a $5,000 Epson that's actually a laser and is bright. And there's, you know, there's other specific projectors to accomplish certain things. But for home theater, typically, in a room where you can somewhat control the lighting, the Epson, my favorite projector, and this model has been evolved over time, but my favorite in that range is that Epson 6030, right, which is just an amazing performance piece. It's got a 3-year warranty. It's got a free extra lamp. It comes with a bracket. I mean, it's an amazing projector, and it's like $34.99.
That's a really good value.
Yeah.
I keep trying to say it's $36.00, but it's not.
No, it's $34.99.
So
it was $39.99, but it's $34.99 now. There's a $2,000 version of that projector that's not quite as good, and there's a Sony for around $2,000 that's that's okay. I mean, it starts where they start to get good, but this Epson's pretty amazing. And it really, for us, typically our customers either jump from the 3,500, 4,000 range, to either jump to 10,000 or 15,000 or stay in the lower range. I mean, put the extra money into speakers and amplifiers and, you know, those kind of things. So, all right.
So, yeah, why don't you talk about the difference in a $3,500 projector as opposed to a $7,000 projector, as opposed to a $10,000 or more 4K projector?
So the difference is pretty remarkable when you go from 2,000 to 3,500. It's pretty remarkable. And the things you'll see are much more accurate color.
Mm-hmm.
Red is more red. It's a little less orangey. The blue isn't dominant. The skin tones are better. The movement issues, as far as, you know, fast moving action like in a hockey game or a football game, if you do see any movement issues on the better projectors, it's because that's the camera is actually creating that movement issue. It's not the set reproducing or creating it. The color accuracy, the video processing, those are really the things that are what makes those projectors better and what makes the differences in them. And the steps are logical almost. I mean, you can see it because they use better lenses, right? The optics themselves are better, just like better camera lenses. You can buy a camera lens to add onto your camera for if you still do cameras.
For people who don't just use their phones, right? Actually, there are, I believe, lenses you can add onto your phone as well. But the lenses, if you do play with the cameras, and you can get better and better lenses,
yeah,
and they take better and better pictures.
You get sharper, more refined images. The edges are sharper. The details better. There are a lot of things that differentiate the projector. Some are bigger, some are smaller. Some are quieter than others. Some make, you know, some are a little, because there's a fan running typically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Some are a little louder than others. Some are extremely quiet, and you can't tell they're on. It's just, you know, those are the differences. And we have them on display, so you can experience the differences and make a judgment, a value judgment for yourself, right? I mean, so that's the projectors. That's the part that puts the image out there. But what's a critical part of the equation and is almost always overlooked is the screen. They are extremely important part of the process. First, let's eliminate this painting the wall with goo gone or goo, not goo.
It's not goo gone.
Goo,
it's goop or something
goo,
like that.
Paint goo or whatever the stuff is or whatever, or just painting the wall in general. Using bed sheets, just painting
the side of the garage.
Yeah. None of these are the best way, and all have serious deficiencies. You show me a wall that you've evenly painted where there's not going to be a hot spot or not going to be, you know, changes in depth, so that light is on the wall at different depths, which can change the image and the sharpness and the detail. It's just not the right way or the best way, the high-performance way to watch an image. Are there people out there that do it? Absolutely. Is it the right thing to do? No, it isn't the right thing to do. So why do screens vary so much? Because you will see screens from a couple of $100s to many thousands of dollars. Material that makes up the screen is significantly different from these different companies. It makes a huge difference. I think the world accepts Stuart Film Screen as the premier high-end extreme Hollywood example of what screen high-performance screen materials are made out of. And then there are several other companies that are really close.
Mm-hmm.
Screen Innovations, companies like that who can make a screen and produce it and get you the 98% of the performance for a little bit less money. But Stuart Film Screen is accepted as really, I think, the high performance, the very best there is out there. I think Stuart, they say it the best too. Why don't you read from their website how Stuart Film Screen feels about it?
Okay, I will. It's Stuart Film Screen. Our company culture and design philosophy, I can't even sing it, philosophy is all about maximizing image fidelity. Consider audio fidelity for a moment. In that case, the loudspeakers are the very last component in the chain. They are ultimately what you hear and they play a critical role in the overall sound quality. Likewise, in a projected video system, the projector screen is the last component in your visual system and presents the final image your eyes see. The screen surface has the last and final say over the quality of your visual fidelity. All the pre- and post-production creative decisions, all the electronic and technical components required to make a large image finally converge on the screen itself to create the end product. Because there are so many specialized viewing requirements and uses, Stuart front and rear projection screen materials are individually optically engineered for specific applications and a multitude of different room environments. In addition to our precision-engineered screen materials, Stuart products are completely scalable to almost any size, like 40 by 90 feet. Ooh, I would like that. Without image artifacts and never a distracting screen material seen in your image.
So
screens aren't made like with a certain thread count of cotton or something. You know, there's a lot of stuff chemically and otherwise that goes into a screen to make it actually display the image in the best
and
light.
And the role of material as it rolls out, almost every other screen company in the world chops off the next 110 inches, 120 inches, whatever the size is, chops off the next block and makes a screen out of it, right? And it's okay. It's good. It's not bad. It's just not perfect. And with Stuart, they go into the roll of material. They find the right size square that shows perfect balance and really is the best section of material and cut it out. And that's where they take your chunk of material from, not the next 6 feet on the roll or 8 feet on the roll. And that costs money, right? Because there's some waste involved because you don't get to use the whole roll. You don't get to use every little part of it. It's one of the things, one of the reasons a screen costs a little bit more. They have screens, you know, with different amounts of light reflect back and different disperse light differently and allow light to enter the screen from the sides. And I mean, there's just different ways of doing it. But super cheap screens have hot spots. They have uneven color. We rarely deal with them at all or whatever. It's just not our thing. People typically come to the little guys. They're looking for high performance. They want that next level. And just having the absolute cheapest screen out there isn't typically the goal. So let's skip to the mid-level offerings. There's a lot of other very good screens at reasonable prices, and they're perfectly acceptable for most applications, especially if we are trying to hit a price point. For example, Screen Innovations has 11 different levels of screen. Actually, I think it's 7 different levels of screens that that you can choose from in different parameters and that accomplish different things. And none of them are bad. They're all okay. They're all livable and acceptable. And instead of maybe $350 or $400 or $500 for a screen, it's $900 or it's $1,100 for a screen. But again, like the people from Stuart said, it's the last thing that the light reflects onto. It's the last thing that the last component in the chain.
Yep.
And it's just really, 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 really important. You cannot, under any circumstances, just kind of just push the screen off to the side. I'll tell you something else that's kind of weird. People tend to keep the screen forever. And maybe over 20 years, they buy one or two different projectors. You know, maybe for some people who are really into it, it's 3 projectors. But for most people, they buy 1 or 2 projectors over that 20-year period. Well, the screen typically stays. Not right. Necessarily because we want it to, but because it stays. It's good enough. That's fine. So buying and investing in a good screen first is a really good idea. All right. So now let's talk about the most important part of any home theater, as far as we're concerned at least, and that is the sound. Right.
There's no question that the sound is, you know, most people don't see it because people are more visual. So they see this fabulous 4K picture. Wow, I got to have that. But unless you have the sound with it, you're really not, you don't get as involved in whatever you're watching. You know, it doesn't mean as much to you. You can say, wow, that's a really fabulous picture.
Right.
And then, you know, after a few minutes, you just look away. But when the sound's there, you're immersed.
You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I mean, picking the right components to meet the room requirements, your desires, and to give you an overall great performance, that's the key. There are a lot of options. whether you use a really good receiver to do all the video and audio switching, or you go to separate components like a preamp processor and power amps, picking out the right electronics to match your speakers is important to create that overall feeling in the room. The electronics makes a big difference, and it's doing it right. Now, the good news is today's basic surround sound receivers, even the $800 and $1,000 and $1,500 receivers, the kind of where they get to be start to be really, really good, those receivers have a lot of the latest HDMI switching. They have a lot of the latest video processing. Heck, with some people who were just trying to be total budget-oriented but want that little extra power, we put them into a power amplifier separate for their speakers, but we use a receiver as the preamp processor because typically you can get a receiver for less money than you can a preamp processor.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the best way to go? No, it's better to get a preamp processor, but it is a way of getting through it and getting going in the right direction. So that option exists. There's just a lot of great choices in electronics. For us, it comes down to whether it's an Integra receiver or a Sony receiver, NAD, or whether it's a Macintosh, amp and preamp, or the NAD Master Series amps and preamps, the Integra amps and preamps. I mean, there's a lot of choices out there. We have them on display. They're out there for you to experience and check out, and listen to. And getting them set up correctly is key. And we're going to talk about that at the end. But picking out the right components that balances out and matches with your speakers and your particular room is a big deal.
And you know what? Just like the screen, which may stay on the wall forever, even though you've gone through several projectors, the speakers are the part of your sound system that you won't be replacing all that often.
Yep.
Maybe never. So you should invest in the very best speakers that your budget allows, because those are going to last a really, really long time. You know, the technology changes, sometimes with receivers. I can't imagine there can be anything more, but I suppose there could be.
It keeps coming.
There could be. So if technology changes, you may have to someday replace that receiver. But the speakers will remain the same other than a different look. But
good speakers are good speakers.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't really change that much. So the speaker options are amazing, though. I mean, whether it's an in-wall speaker, whether it's an on-wall speaker, whether it's in the ceiling, whether it's a floor-standing tower or a bookshelf or any combination of those mounted from the ceiling, mounted from the wall. I mean, there's so many different options. There's so many different ways you can do it. And we know with today's surround sound with Dolby Atmos that you're going to want more and more speakers You want these height speakers. You want to feel the effect above your head.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different ways to accomplish it. I can't say enough that picking out the right speakers, designing the right combination of gear and electronics is huge. So one of the most critical parts of picking out the right speakers are the subwoofers. To me, the entire home theater experience revolves around the right subs for your room. And notice I say subs because I think two is a minimum, is the right way to go when you're doing a home theater. You want to create this even balance of bass throughout the room. You don't want to have any nulls where there is no bass, or you have to crank it up and then so that you can hear it in that kind of dead spot, and then the people in the live spot, it's too much bass. I mean, you want bass to be impactful. You want to feel it. Tom and I were in the room the other day tweaking and calibrating the theater system, and Tom was calibrating it. I was just sitting back enjoying it. And we were talking about on the explosion, you could actually feel the wind coming at you in waves. It wasn't just that there's all of a sudden there was wind or movement. You literally felt it coming at you. You could perceive the explosion getting louder and coming towards you. It was amazing. I mean, that's the cool stuff about home theater set up correctly with the right woofers and done properly. It's a huge difference, and subwoofers it's just critical to the whole effect. And we switched from one sub to two subs many years ago or whatever, and it just tightened everything up. It cleaned up the room. The impact was significant. You can actually kind of feel your clothes moving a little bit. I mean, it's pretty amazing. truly amazing. So subwoofers are a huge part of that. Using premium wires and cables to connect all the components, and using the upgraded power cords that we talk about often. These are important parts. You need to get all that information, or as much of that information as you possibly can, from point A to point B. You want it to arrive at the right time, and you want it to arrive complete, not leave some stuff out. And using the right digital cables, using the right analog cables, the right speaker wires, little things like that are often overlooked in the design, but using the right components to do all of that is just as critical. You want everything all the way to that final detail, including that power cord that's used to, you know, power the actual units, the amplifiers and the receivers, the subs, the display devices, and the units that are creating, you know, the source material, whether it's a DVD or whether it's coming right from the TV itself or the projector itself, or whether it's, you know, in a separate control box. That's a hugely critical part of the overall system. So that, not a smart place to kind of cut corners or whatever. Line conditioning and surge protection, equally as important. Having the right line conditioners and surge protectors to take the noise out of the AC lines, to protect your gear, and frankly, I think more importantly, to lower the noise floor to as low as possible, to allow the equipment to perform at its maximum capability, to really allow it to do what it's supposed to do, so you can feel that the excitement and the fear of the movie or the television show, so that you can hear the dialogue, so the clarity is there and the impact is there when it's supposed to be. That line conditioners and surge protectors have a lot to do with that and are also a hugely important part of it. Control. Control is all about enjoyment when it comes to the system. How do I control it? How do I use it?
Right. It needs to be really easy.
All right. Let's talk about that more in a second. We'll go into some of the things that control, you know, brings back into the situation. But let's keep going on the theater itself. The acoustics of the room make a huge difference in what can be reproduced in that room. If you have a hardwood floor and you have a drywall ceiling and drywall walls and
a bunch of windows.
And a bunch of windows, the room is extremely live and some acoustic treatment can make a huge difference. The difference between actually sounding really good and sounding okay, you know, that big of a difference. And it creates a more even balance so that there's not just one hot spot that sounds really good, but that their entire room can enjoy great sound and great performance. And again, with Dolby Atmos, you will be blown away by the fact that it's you have so much more of a perspective on where things are going on around you on the screen and above you, and when things fly over your head and come off from the side, and it's pretty significant. So, and the acoustic part of it, we could do a whole show on just acoustic treatments.
Right, and it's, you know, it's not that you have to put egg cartons all over your walls.
Right.
Acoustic treatments can be beautiful. They can be photographs. They can be just about anything. And placed in different, you know, in different key. It's not like you have to cover your room completely.
Yeah.
Although sometimes that's fun, you know, if you have a dedicated theater. But, you know, say it's your family room or your great room or whatever, and, you know, you still want it to look nice. Well, you put things in key spots, in beautiful fabrics or fabrics that are actually turned into, you know, your photos. It could be of your photos of your family or photos of the Earth from space, or
there's all kinds of really cool.
So options. I mean, you can just about anything on the acoustic panels, and treat the room acoustically, and still have it be
aesthetically pleasing,
desirable room.
Yeah, no, and it's important. You don't just stick a panel in the room. You analyze the room. You take some readings. You sit down. You have somebody who knows what they're doing. Really, you know. Prepare the room for the right treatments, and then we tell you what we think you should do, and you tell us that's too much, because I couldn't possibly put all those treatments in the room, and we figure out where the compromises are, and we make everybody happy. Okay, once in a while somebody says, all right, yeah, let's just do that. But typically, just like for the store, if we bring in and analyze the rooms and we say to Tom, well, what should we do here? What do we need to do? Well, you need to put concrete in this wall, and you need some lead over here, and of course, we're never doing any of that stuff, right? It's a store, so what can we do that's reasonable to make it happen? And again, you can turn an extremely live room where you clap in the room and it rings throughout. We can take that and make that all go away. So whether it's, you know, bass traps or reflective material or absorption material, it's all about picking out the right acoustics and the right design as well. Total room design. We can sit down, we can tweak out the room, we can do a theme style room, we can make it, you know, Star Wars or a outdoor golf course. We can make it just about anything you want the room to be. What do you want to experience? What do you like? Do you like nature? We'll make it a nature room. Do you like, you know, science fiction? You make it science fiction. Do you like traditional theaters with dark reds and maroons and you know, traditional columns and those kind of things? You could. All of that stuff are available, and the seating is critical as well. The sight lines and the acoustic lines, as far as being able to hear and see and the rest of it, is all part of the seating design. All that's part of what we do. And the seats can be traditional home theater seats. They can be couches and love seats. They can have power and be motorized and recline, and they can have cool LED lights and cup holders, or they can be beanbag chairs and whatever. I mean, it's a matter of what you want and how you want it to be. There's a lot of options, and they can be made out of all the different colors of leather, fabrics, and microfibers and those kind of things. Or if you have a particular material that you like, they'll custom make the seats to whatever you want it to be. So we can take care of that as well. So lots of different choices when it comes to that. Let's go back to control, because I know we're kind of running out of time. Well, we never really run out of time. We can just keep going. But control is critical, whether you do it with a handheld remote, traditional remote control that you're used to, or you do it with an iPad or a phone or a tablet or you know, any smartphone kind of a thing. The control is critical. And more than just hitting the pause button on the movie, because you're controlling the lights in the room, you can control the temperature in the room, you're controlling the overall security. You can look at the cameras. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do with that control system. And there's lots of different choices. And I think the next podcast we have scheduled is going to be interviewing one of our guys, our main programmer, and talk about all the different things that can be programmed into today's control systems. But for the theater itself, it's being easy to use, quick access to different things, having your favorites TV stations be able to just tap a button and go to your favorites if that's what you want to do, having it work well together, picking out the right sources, whether it's, you know, using TiVo if you're a Comcast customer instead of using the TiVo or the Comcast box, using TiVo as an upgrade. There's lots of different choices, lots of different ways to do it, and putting all those things together and making them easy to use, that's the key, and control does that. So whether it's, again, a handheld remote, from Control 4 or Savant, or whether it's a Control 4 or Savant system being used on a tablet or a phone or any other device, making that easy and simple is huge. It eliminates the how do I get to do this or how do I do that concept, because it doesn't matter. You just push the button and it just does it for you. As well as giving you access to all the internet and network streaming and music distribution and all kinds of other things that you can build onto in the future. So designing the right home theater, picking out the right components for your room, making sense out of your actual choices, that's the key. And the little guys will kind of basically bring it all together, create a plan that allows you to have the theater of your dreams right in your own home. Perhaps one of the greatest escape environments of all time. And there's nothing better than going into that theater area, closing the door in the theater room, if you can, and just the rest of the world goes away. I mean, it lets you get away from the everything else that's out there that can be distracting you and that's on your mind. So, and it's not, again, it's not just you. It gives the family a chance to be together and do it. And you'll watch movies you would have never believed you watch. I mean, I can tell you, I've watched Toy Story 3 or 4 times. I would have never watched Toy Story, but it sounds so good and it's so much fun in a home theater situation. Just as an example, I guess it dates me a little bit because there's a lot of new ones. Ice Age and all kinds of other new stuff. But for me, it was Toy Story that I couldn't believe I was sitting there watching for the third time or whatever. But, you know, that's the way it is. So, great for everyone. Nobody is exempt. Let us take you through the steps. Let us sit down with you, go over your plans, go over your concepts, figure out what the right thing to use is. If it's based around a TV, it's based around a TV. If it's using a front projector, let's do that and figure out the right ones for you. And there's a lot of different choices and a lot of different things that require some time and effort and a lot of knowledge to make sure that you get the most out of that theater and you get the most bang for your buck, basically, in the theater design. All right, how do they get a hold of us?
How do they get a hold of us? Well,
I didn't mean to cut you off, but you were going to say something else. But
you did too.
No, I didn't mean to, but.
No, the only thing I was going to say is that, you know, maybe you already have some components. Maybe you have the display panel you want, or maybe you have three of the five speakers that you want. Maybe you only have one subwoofer. You know, if you've already got something, let us work with you to build on that. Yeah. Let us know what exactly you have, and we can help you to build on that.
Yeah, that's important. I mean, of course, we love doing it all at once, but we can also do it in steps. I mean, not everybody gets everything all at once, so we can do it in steps. We get the right screen. We get the right projector. We add the right speakers. We add the second subwoofer. Those are things that can be done in steps, as well as, you know, adding the Atmos speakers and that kind of thing.
So if you'd like to contact us, if you have questions or comments about the show or anything else, you can contact us at info@thelittleguys.com. You can call us at 708-754-8844. You can go to our website, which is thelittleguys.com. And we're also on Facebook. Like us on Facebook.
Please, like us on Facebook.
And I don't know how else you could contact us.
You can come to the store.
You could send brainwaves.
You can come to the store, which is at a...
You can come to the store.
Which... It's at 19031 South Old LaGrange Road in Mokena, Illinois. South suburbs of Chicago. It's right off of I-80. It is extremely easy to get to. We service the entire Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana, Southwest Michigan area. We will take care of you. We'll work with you. We'll spend time with you. We'll make sure you're getting the right information. And we're glad to just share and let you experience surround sound and video and all the other things that go along with that control, whether it's, you know, again, the entire automation experience from thermostats and cameras to lighting, both natural and artificial. And we're there to help. So we want to thank you guys for listening. And we really want you to call in, email in and ask questions if you've got them so we can read them on the air. And that's it for us today, right?
I guess so.
All right. We are out of here.
Bye-bye.